Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. In all three of our lessons tonight, there is a common thread that moves through them. In our Old Testament lesson, we see the people of God, the chosen people of Israel, the children of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the Exodus, grumbling about the provisions that God had given them in the wilderness. They grumble against and they quarrel with their pastor Moses. And then the Lord reminds them all by the water from the rock of his chosen purpose for them. And yet that epistle lesson tonight reminds us that many of them were overthrown in the wilderness, for God was not pleased with them. That though they had been called into this nation, this chosen people by God's grace, their work, their thankfulness was sour, and it was angry at God's ways. They had partaken in all the blessings, all the miraculous signs and wonders of what God had done for these people, and yet God overthrew them. The epistle lesson tonight reminds us of discipline. The Israelites were overthrown in the wilderness. They did not practice any discipline. They grumbled and they quarreled. They gave in to their flesh, their sinful nature. They were selfish until the end, not pleased with what God had done, but objecting to it and indeed wishing for what they thought were the good old days back in Egypt. They were overthrown because rather than discipline, they sought to grow in their bitterness towards their fellow called people. And from that, then grow in their bitterness and hatred of God, the very God who called them. That there is great warning in these texts tonight. The parable of the laborers in the vineyard is both a teaching of God's grace and his gracious calling, but also a warning against the selfish attempts to claim good works for anything before God. Jesus starts out by calling it the kingdom of heaven. That Christians, as when Jesus speaks of this, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, all these kingdoms, he is speaking of the Christian church. That the kingdom of heaven is amongst you, indeed you are a part of it, it is the church. And those who are called into it are called into it by grace. The master of the house, that is the Father, he draws people into his church. And Jesus says this. He says, no one can come to him unless the Father himself draws him. And the Father indeed draws. He calls, sending out the word of his Son, Jesus, to be used by the same Holy Spirit who proceeds from both the Father and the Son together. That the Spirit uses that word to call many into the kingdom of heaven, into the church. And this call is always done by grace. That no one is here tonight because we deserve it. That not a single soul who has been called into the church, who has lived a life of faith, who has died the death of a Christian and been brought into heaven, no one who has gone through that ever did something or had something in them that caused God to reward them with salvation. No, salvation is always by grace. The fact that God has brought you into the church is a testimony to the grace of God. Not a single Christian deserves to be a Christian. And that you are to let this mind be amongst you as you think of your standing or your prominence or how much you deserve from others in the church. That you are here even tonight by God's grace. And so the laborers are called throughout the day, early on, third hour, sixth hour, ninth hour, 11th hour, so forth. God has indeed throughout all of time constantly sought out to call people into his church. That he has called throughout time. And yes, for individuals, he calls them throughout their whole life as well. He reaches out by his word, inviting by grace for those stuck in the world to come out of that fallen place into the promised land of his kingdom, the church. He does this at all times and during everyone's life, all of their life. And that he does this because his love compels him to. That not a single worker is deserving of the labor, but God calls because that is just who God is. He is gracious and merciful, and his love acts, and so he calls. Now, some never listen. Some stay in the marketplace, in love with the world and all of its ways. They are sadly, of course, not in the church. They know nothing of grace. No matter how hard they try, they cannot please God. And they stand outside of Christ's love. Perhaps you might know some of these folks, and God might use you to call them into the church to labor amongst us even at the 11th hour. If so, think of doing it this week for the love of them and for their eternal salvation, because our God has certainly not stopped calling laborers into his vineyard. Others in the parable go out to work early. They are the ones that agree to the price for their labors, to their wage. They are there then, as we see it especially throughout the parable, they are there for their reward. The problem is of course, though they are called by grace, their labor is only for selfish reasons. That this is a gut check for all of you here tonight. That these workers are given some reward, certainly, but they are told to go, to leave. That there are those who live in the Christian church, but only because it benefits them. And they labor in vain, expecting selfish gain and reward from what God has given to his own to do within the church. Just our normal duty. That if you want to claim your reward in the face of God because of what you have done as a Christian, if you think you have earned some kind of extra special place, some extra special reward because of who you are or what you have done or how long you've been a Christian, then remind yourself of Jesus' words to those workers who demanded their reward. Those workers who then compared themselves to the other workers. Those workers who then spoke ill of their master. If and when you find yourself grumbling in the church about the other workers, about the other Christians, that is, you may have to sinfully relate to these first workers, the ones who are told to take the money and leave. So take heed and cut it out. That you have been called in by grace into this work, this labor, and you only have life from God by his grace. That these workers are reminiscent of the Israelites who were overthrown in the wilderness. That if you see yourself in them, among them, repent, resist your sinful flesh. Seek out the gracious words of Christ over and over again and again. Take it as a grace from God that you are disciplined by hearing such words and examples from Holy Scripture. Now, the others that are called throughout the day, they are called by grace again. But rather than working for the reward, they are those who work by grace as well. That there is no negotiation, there is just trust in the words of the master. Go into the vineyard, and I will give you whatever is right. There's just trust in this goodness and this graciousness of the master, the goodness and graciousness of the Father, to give as he sees fit out of his goodness and love. that this is the blessed state of the Christian. But notice they work. That being saved by grace doesn't exempt us from doing good works at all. Indeed, no. The whole life of the Christian is filled with good works. And yet the works do not move us to expect any kind of special rewards from God. No, the life of the Christian is lived doing good, but trusting only in the goodness and grace of our God who has called us to labor in the vineyard by grace. And this goodness of God is known only through the revelation of Holy Scripture. Nature can't teach it to you, your conscience can't teach it to you. Only the Word can. And the Word testifies then to the grace of God, shown chiefly in the sending of Christ to be our Savior, that Christ himself is God's goodness and God's grace to us. That Christ himself provides perfect labor. Christ himself provides the perfect use of the tongue, never murmuring, grumbling, complaining. Christ himself endures the burdens of the work, the scorching heat of the day. Then he endures, of course, the grumbling, the murmuring, the hatred, and the lying words from those around him. He endures the suffering and the persecution and the evil uttered against him. That his laying down his glory to selflessly die the death earned by others, his shedding of innocent blood at the hands of the guilty, his taking what he had earned by his perfect life and so forth, and then turning it into a pure gift to give to those, the very ones who made him suffer and die. Each and every sinner whose pile of sins demanded justice and punishment and damnation. That's Christ's labor. It's his perfect work, earned by him and given by him. And that's what he has called you by grace to receive. That is what he gives. That grace is our only hope in this life for any life yet to come. And that this is the mark of those who are called and chosen, for they trust in the goodness and the loving kindness of our triune God for their blessings and for their benefits in this life and the next. That they endure all kinds of suffering and persecution, the scorching heat, so to speak. They endure that from some of those who still remain in the marketplace of the world, not believing in God or trusting his grace. But also they endure it from those who grumble and those who murmur and those who get bitter and angry against them from within the vineyard. They do this because of the grace of the Master, the love of the Master, that nothing can separate them from that love of Christ, that grace of God, for by grace they were called, and by grace their reward will indeed come someday, but they don't mind the work, the labor, the burdens, the heat of the day, the hardship, because it's all done within the vineyard. It's all done within the gracious, good, loving Master who, in his vineyard, the one who brought them in, even as the end of the day approaches, and that he will give whatever is right. None of us are here because we earned our spot. We are called here by grace. We are to remain in the church, that is to say, staying within the church, hearing the word and trusting in what it says, gathering for the meals that our God provides us to feed our souls and to keep us close to him, most especially when the marketplace tries very hard to call us back, and most especially when the temptation comes to grumble from within the vineyard. That he has called and gathered us to this place. And all of us are to be at work in the church, some with different tasks and callings than others, each according to their called vocations. And the work is always good. But it may be a burden, it may be a hardship, it may reap nothing but hatred from the world and maybe even others who claim to be in the church. But that doesn't matter, because it's Christ's work for us. That in it and through it, Christ disciplines us. He prunes away the things, the selfish things especially, that would get in the way of our faith in him and the good fruit that our faith produces. That through this, Christ makes us better laborers for the sake of each other as we labor together, but also for the sake of his glory. And as he adds to his church, we rejoice alongside of our fellow heirs by grace, even as they come late in the world. That long ago, whether it was early in life or just recently or late in life, the calling to be a laborer in the vineyard of the Master is always by grace. And it is this grace you know because he has called you into the vineyard, into his church. May you be reminded of this grace of God often and at all times as you labor where God has put you to labor. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.